Today we are taking a break from the Route 66, and we're going to have a special Mother's Day sermon. So we can honor them, pray for them, and bless them. Okay. Shall we look to God in prayer? Just take a quiet moment and ask the Spirit of God. To minister to us. Pray for your pastor to preach the word in boldness, accurately. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the sermon today is an inspiration from my mother and many mothers who have come to me in my years of pastoral ministry and asked for prayers for their children. So I have made those prayers to be the mother's wishes. These are not comprehensive. We can't do it in 30 minutes. But I want to bring out seven prayers, seven wishes of a mother for her children from those moments that I've had with the mothers. As you all know, that Mother's Day started with Anna Jervis in 1858. Now, Anna Jervis, Appalachian home mother, Midwest, Midwest it would be. She called for a mother's work day in 1858. Okay? Mother's work day. What was happening was, and it's for the sanitation, caring for the community on both sides of Civil War. So she called out all the mothers to come out to work for sanitation. That's how Mother's Day route went back to that. Taking care of people in times of war, not dividing where to take care, but both sides. Later on in 1870, Julia Ward came forth, inspired by Anna Jervis, and she started a call for women to arise. And what was she calling for? She was calling for peace. That there was too much war going on here in America, civil wars, and the Franco War was going to happen at that time. And she was calling for peace, and she asked all women to arise and to mourn for the dead, to mourn for those who have died, and to work for peace so we would not live in conflict. And so we know that in 1914, President Wilson Woodrow declared the first Mother's Day celebration. My wife and we were talking about Mother's Day and sending information about Mother's Day. And one of the things that we read about on Mother's Day was that there was a line that came out to me that Mother's Day was never about brunch. Mother's Day is a call for a mother to take care of the motherless. Mother's Day is a call for a mother to take care of the orphans. It's a day to take care of the widows. It's a day to empower women in this country and around the world. That's Mother's Day, more than the brunch, more than the flowers, more than the gifts. Is to take care of the fatherless, the motherless, the widows, the orphans, to bring peace in these warring nations. In times like this, in times such as like this, it's a day for the women to arise and to say, let the healing begin. That's Mother's Day for me. apart from all the good things that we do for the mother, it should be a day of peace, not war. It should be a day of empowerment and not oppression. It should be a day of compassion and not apathy. That's what we're calling for here today in First Baptist Church, Santa Clara. And here are the seven wishes. And the first one is, a mother wishes her children are saved physically and the soul. When I was 19 years old, I called for a family prayer meeting. That was the first time I called for a family prayer meeting. I prepared the whole day. I had a personal encounter with God, very personal, talking to me about my salvation and where I need to go, where my final destination should be. And I understood the gospel, and I wanted to share to my sisters, my younger brother, and my mother. Evening came, and we had the prayer meeting, and I shared the gospel. And I shared the gospel to my sisters. My brother was very young, and my mother. I was sharing about my assurance of salvation that I have because of what I understand from the scripture. I asked my sister, the older one who's younger to me, and said, "Are you safe? Do you know where you're going? Is there a place for you in heaven? Are you assured of these things? Jesus died for you. If you follow him and believe in him, you will become the children of God." She started crying. And she said, "I'm not sure, brother. I don't know where I'm going." And I shared the gospel to her. Jesus died for you. He was buried. He hung on the cross. If you believe in him, you'll become a child of God. She said, "I want to do that." Then I went to my second sister. I shared the gospel, asked the same thing. And she said, crying, "I want to follow the Lord." I turned to my mother. It was very awkward because my father was a pastor. She was a missionary. They had gone to theological seminary. And I said to my mother, "Mom, are you sure of your salvation? I just need to know that you're going to heaven." Then she started crying. And then we started to pray. So everyone will pray, but my mom will close the prayer. Then she prayed. And during her prayer, she started crying. And she said in her prayer, I still remember, "My father had come to her dream. My father died when I was 11. And my father had come to her dream. And and she prayed, "You had come in my dream and told me to bring all the children home in heaven." My father had come to her dream and said, "Bring all the children to heaven." And she cried that day. It was tears of joy that she can see salvation right before her eyes. Then I knew that every mother wished their children are saved. I believe many mothers sitting here, or all the mothers sitting here, wishes that their children are safe. Don't you feel the same? Like any mother, that their children are safe. Like God, every mother wishes their children are saved. In 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, it says here, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Like God, every mother wishes their children to be saved. The second thing that I want to say is, a mother wishes her children honor their parents. You have read many times this settlement and hush up money. when a rich kid does something, or when a man that has money does something, what do? They go quietly and try to buy the and settle that the bad conduct or bad things that the kids have done will not come out in public. It will not be printed. It will not be on television. Why do they do that? Because they want to cover, they want to protect the good name of the family. They want to protect the good name of the family. You know, honor is important for every person, whether rich or poor, Christian or non-Christian, believer or non-believer. Honor is important. And the word of God says in Ephesians 6:2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This is for you young people. When you honor your mother and father, that commandment comes with a promise. In fact, it's a first promise that comes with it. And what is that promise? That you will live well on earth and you will have a long life. That's the promise. That's the commandment that comes with promise. In Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing to the Lord. How do we honor our parents? By obeying them, by listening to them. And when you obey your parents, you please the heart of God. You please the heart of God. And fathers, how are our kids going to honor parents? They're going to look at you. And since I'm a father, I'm going to talk to a father. When you honor your parents, they will learn from you how to honor you and your wife. If you want your children to honor you, to honor your wife, then you honor your mother and your father. Then they will learn to honor you. If you're having a hard time to honor your parents, your mom and dad, and you expect your children to honor you and your wife, there is no good example. There is no good model here. The best thing you can do for your children to teach how to honor your parents is to honor your parents. And children, you're not honoring your parents because of what they do, because of what they bring for you. You honor them for who they are. My wife and I will tell our sons, because he went to a very elite school before we moved here, very rich school. People make more than $1 million a month, you know. Come back and say and ask, Mom, Dad, how much do you make? Right? And then we talk about these things, that our value is not, we don't tell them how much we make anyway. But we tell them about the value that we have as a person, the things that we do. I know our kids respect us, but it's not on how much I bring for them as a father. It's not how much my wife brings for the kids as a mother, but it's on who we are that they honor us and respect us. This is not what we do and what we have, which house we live. Our kids are saying, Mom, Dad, how are you able to buy a house in Santa Clara? Where did all the money come from? You say, you know, God provided for us. I mean, that's the truth. We want to bring our children up to value God and honor Him. The third thing that I want to talk about is that a mother wishes her children to live well. Is to live well. Some of us are hoping and praying that our children will just be alive. That when they go to school, they'll come back alive. They just want the children to live. They have the fear that the children may not come back. Some kids may not pass 20.
They will not live to get to be 20. And some mothers are praying to see just their son and daughter coming, walking home alive. They want their children to be well. They want their children to be well. They would do anything for their children. We see this in the scripture in Mark 7:25. And this story touches me because this is not a Jew. It's a Syro-Phoenician woman. When she heard that Jesus was coming and her daughter has been possessed by evil spirit, what did she do? She went and fell on the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she begged for wellness of that daughter. A mother wants her children to live well. And I want to ask mothers here this morning, where do you run to? Where do you run to? Do you run to your saving accounts? Do you run to buy good things from the store? You buy more gifts for them? Take out for holidays, vacations? What do you give them so they will live well? Do you run to every direction except the Lord Jesus Christ on the feet of the cross, begging for the life of the children? What do you do? We saw a widow. We saw a widow in Luke 7. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was coming, he saw this widow and had compassion on her because she had lost a son. Her son has died. And Jesus had compassion. And Jesus went to the widow and he raised the son from the dead. When you go to the Lord Jesus as mother, he has the same compassion that you have for your children. He looks upon you with grace and compassion. He knows how hard it is to be a mother. Nobody had it easy. But you have Jesus on your side. If you go to his feet and beg for the lives of your children, he has more compassion even then, more than you have for your children. I want you to run to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and beg for the lives of your children and see what extraordinary things that he can do for your children. The children saying this morning, I wish all our dreams could come true. In the chorus it says, faith. Faith that would take us beyond. Faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to do great things. You want your children to live well. You want your children to do great things. Run to the cross. Fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and beg for their lives. A mother wishes her children to work hard. This is one thing we tell our kids. I tell our sons, we tell our sons and daughter to give their best. We tell them, look at us. Look at your mom and dad. Everything that we do, we give our all. We model that at home, that we give our best. At the church, that everything that we do, we give our best. That best may be not good enough for all of you. Some people may do better, but that's the best we can do for now. We will keep learning and do better, but for this moment, the things that we do, we're giving our best. And they know. Even last night, we were talking as we were practicing this song, and we were having it at the dining table. I look at my sons and I say, look at your lives and look at me and your mom. We give everything to you. We give our best to you. We are invested in your life, whether in your education, in your soccer, in your golf. Why do you think that we give everything to you? It's because we are invested in your life and we want you to do the same. When you come and sing in the church, when you go to a youth group to work, When you do something, give it your whole heart. Give it your whole heart. Do your best. And if you have done your best, then that's enough for us. The result may be different. The grades may be different. But if we know that you have done your best, then we're satisfied. Young people are listening to all kinds of messages. I was listening to Wiz Khalifa's song, Work Hard, Play Hard, right? And the bigger the bill, the bigger the ball, right? And 'cause my money is long, you know, you better come here fast so you will get here sooner. That's how we know, work hard, play hard. No, there's more than that. It's not about money. Your money may be long. You know, I'm thinking about diamonds in my head. That's what he's thinking. He started with the first line, the diamonds in my head, right? You want me to rap now or it's okay? Yeah? Oh, yeah? Go. Rap? No? Yeah. Okay. But I want you to work hard and pray hard. Then you'll see your life change. If you work hard and pray hard, you can play later. You can play hard too. But if you just work hard and play hard, it's not going to go anywhere. You work hard. You pray hard. You will have a time to play hard. Young people, work hard. It says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, do it heartily, not half-hearted. When your mom calls you to do something for you, don't grumble. Don't complain. I'm playing my games. It's not done yet. I'm going to be level 5. Come on. Help heartily. Right? And God will bless you. He says, Second Thessalonians 3:10. We commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. One of the things about God is that he speaks the truth and he never sugarcoats it. Okay? What we do is we try to twist the word of God and make it sound better for people. God says no work, no food. Simple. We say, maybe we can take in something and give a freebie here and snag in some snacks and pay under the table, whatever. And then what do we create? We create children with entitlement. We make them entitled because of what we do. We twist the word of God, make people feel better. You know, eat the broccoli and we'll give you ice cream. You know, you finish that broccoli first, and here's the ice cream. We do all these things. These are not good things as parents. The rewards, the food that we use for children. Even secular counselor will tell you not to do that. Never use food to get something done for your children. Those are not good. Reward systems are not good. You speak the truth to them as they are. When they're doing wrong, say that is wrong. When they're doing right, say that is right. It's good to eat broccoli. You don't have to give ice cream. That's the point. Right? Broccoli is good. See, vegetables are good. You don't have to give them candy to make them eat healthy. That is wrong. If you want to give candy, just give candy. If you want to give ice cream, just treat them ice cream. Don't make it a war between broccoli and ice cream. They will grow up with this reward system. You know? Certificate for participation. Right? The most improved players all go. We come up with all kinds of things to make our kids feel good. They never get to hear the truth from us. We have to learn how to speak the truth to our children if we are wishing them to work hard
to grow up well. God is straightforward, but we know He cares for us. It's a hard truth when Paul talks to the church in Thessalonians, if you don't work, don't eat. A mother wishes her children to build strong family. To build strong family. We have in our house, when I was able to read English or I was able to talk, my father had put a plaque outside and inside. It says something like this. Jesus is the head of this house, a silent listener to every conversation, and an unseen guest in every dinner, right? That's the plaque that we have. So I like that. Okay, Jesus is the head of this house. I'm okay with that. An unseen guest in every dinner. I like that. I like Jesus to come and eat with us. But the silent listener to every conversation, that kind of freaked me out. What? Christ hears everything. The thing is, I grew up with that. It was in my head that Jesus is the head of this house. And that became very meaningful to me as I grow older, understand the scripture. Jesus is truly the head of my house. And in Psalms it says here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If you want to build a strong family, then you have to build on the strong, sure foundation. And there is no other foundation that is surer than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone. You want a strong family, build with the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The next one is, a mother wishes her children to love one another. Probably the Lord Jesus Christ knew about this. That's why he said in John 3:20, it says here, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who do not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Add a sister there. If you say you love God and you hate your brother and your sister, then he is a liar. And then in 21 it says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brothers and sisters also. He knew that relationship was going to be hard. He knew that it's going to be very hard to love your sister. He knew that it was going to be hard to love your brother, so he did not make it an option. He makes it a commandment that if you say you love me, I want you to love your sister and I want you to love your brother. And we all know that loving a brother and a sister can be really, really, really hard. But you got to love anyway. You got to love them anyway. That's the commandment for brothers and sisters. And my mother, I talked to her yesterday, all my kids, and we wished her Happy Mother's Day. And she's not well. My mom's not well. She can't walk. She hasn't been able to walk for 3-4 days. But she was excited to hear our voice. And I say, what can I pray for you? She said, pray that I'll be well. Pray that I'll be well. She used to tell us, I want you to get along with your two sisters and your brother all the time. And it's easier said than done, okay? Because when you have relatives, in-laws, there's a lot of things involved in that. They're no longer just brothers, brother and sisters. There's this extended people, you know? Entourage, I don't know where do they come from. And you got to love them too, see? It's very hard to do that. But we got to love our brothers and sisters. We are called to love our brothers and sisters. And every mother's wish is that their sibling will get along well. I think I speak for the mothers here. The last one that I want to say today is a mother wishes her children to be an honorable, decent human being. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. That is why rich people pay off money when their children do bad things to cover up. Money is not enough. A good name is better. We want our kids to have honorable life and live a decent life. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. A good name is better than all the wealth in the world. Every mother wishes their children to live an honorable, decent life. They want them to be a decent human being. This is the Mother's Day challenge for us. Go back to Anna Jarvis and Julia Ward. Anna Jarvis called for Mother's Work Day for sanitation for the South, the Union and the Confederates during the Civil War. Julia Ward came and took care of all the orphans, the widows, the maimed, wounded soldier from both sides and called for peace. And this scripture comes to mind. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. This is the challenge for us this week, that you will pursue peace with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your brothers and sisters, with people that are estranged, and live a holy life. Because I think we all want to see the Lord. We all want to see the Lord. Let Anna Jarvis, let Julia Ward, let the Mother's Day reminds us that it's all about peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. And to live a holy life. Then we will see the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's call the worship team to come up. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that you desire all men to be saved, that you desire everyone to live a peaceful life, to lead a holy life, to care and love for one another. O Prince of Peace, let Mother's Day remind us that we will work for peace. Today, remind us that we will empower the weak. And on this day more so, we empower the women in this country, in the world. Uplift us with the power of the Spirit, that we can go out and serve people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be on our feet. Let's stand on our feet and praise and worship Him and give glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.